Gun violence and mass shootings are almost daily events in this country. A new study finds rates of gun violence differ around the country, and the results might not be what you expect. Colin Woodard conducted the study. He's director of the Nationhood Lab at Salve Regina University in Rhode Island. Colin, welcome.
My pleasure to be here.
Colin, we've seen a congressional hearing specifically set in New York City, seeking to frame that as a dangerous gun violence place. But your research suggests that might not be the place necessarily to focus on. When you break down the safest and least safe regions in the country, it's a more complicated way to look at it?
It is more complicated. And when you do that, the greater New York City area actually becomes the safest place on the continent of all. So it's the last place you would choose for those purposes.
Your research shows that parts of the country more like Canada and others more like war-torn Iraq.
Yes, at Nationhood Lab, we look at all sorts of phenomenon where regionalism matters in American life, and we use a regional structure that doesn't just follow state lines, but is historically based and goes back to early settlement patterns. And when you do that, it clarifies the real cultural differences between regions, which are enormous in terms of deadly gun violence. You know, the rates, whether you're looking at gun homicides per capita or gun suicides, the differences between the large regions are on the order of 2- and 3-fold differences. And between the Deep South, which ends up being often the most dangerous, and the area around New York City, it's like a 7-fold difference sometimes. So like you said, the differences between rates comparable to Canada to more like, you know, Panama and the Philippines. It's as if we're living in separate countries.
Yeah. The Deep South is the most dangerous region for gun violence. What are the relevant cultural, historical factors that help you understand why?
Yeah, we wanted to look at this because people had seen throughout history, the explanations include the rather obvious that in the slaveholding regions, all the way up through 1860, you know, that system was held together by incredible violence, the threat of violence, gruesome, you know, executions. And then in the era that followed, in the caste system was reinforced by the Ku Klux Klan doing much of the same and off-duty law enforcement and the like. In other words, there's an inherent violence in the system and application of it that has been shown by scholars to link into present violence rates. Whereas in, say, a culture like New England and the greater New England space and the sort of upper Great Lakes region that was originally colonized by New Englanders, the early Puritan ethos that was laid down into that culture was about self-restraint. And, you know, you wouldn't take matters into your own hands. You go report things to the magistrates and the officials who can do terrible things and throw people in stocks and such. But the point is that officials, not you privately, settle violence matters. And that's ended up in many ways playing out in the regions that followed from these early settlement patterns and these dominant cultural assumptions they left behind in their wake.
In your cultural map and scholarship, the region that includes the New York City metro area, as you've said, is the safest area. There's a common perception in this country that urban areas in general are more dangerous than rural, but what does your data find?
The situation's a lot more nuanced than that. I mean, one of the most surprising things to me is just how safe the greater New York City area is. That's a region in our map because that's the area that was originally colonized and the culture laid down in the Dutch period way back in the 17th century, which made it this global trading city. Even though it's the most densely populated part of the country, however we slice the data, it was the safest place in the continental United States by far. Whether you're looking at per capita homicides or suicides, if you're looking only at white victims, only at black victims, it's amazing how safe it is. There are other cities where it's quite dangerous. Rural gun violence, when you look at the map, it's almost non-existent in some of the northern cultures like the greater New England one I described, and is very prevalent, though, in great stretches of what I describe as greater Appalachia and the Deep South and those southern regions. So the idea that it's all big cities where the danger lies is far from the real picture.
From that perspective of region and culture, in your view, what might a starting point be then to understand gun violence and lower it?
Well, we have to understand you, in a sense, are dealing with different countries in many respects. Policy and politics are downstream from culture. So if you wanted an intervention to make things safer, you would have to talk about it and make a case on different grounds, depending on what culture you're in, which is where this kind of analysis becomes valuable. For instance, if you want to go to Greater Appalachia and argue for a given measure, you need to be making a case that by doing this, it will make it easier for you to protect yourself and your family. Whereas in the Greater New England space, the case can be made, you do this because it will make our community safer. It may be the same policy, but the way you go about it is quite a bit different based on the cultural resonances in these different regions.
Colin Woodard is director of the Nationhood Lab at Salve Regina University in Rhode Island. Fascinating, Colin. Great to talk to you.
Thank you very much for having me.